Talk about the second caliphate. Okay, this is Kayin state. We don't really have Adam performing tshuva, which is fascinating. We have utter silence when he's confronted by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, the Medrash says that Kayin meets Adam. Adam meets Kayin after Kayin's murder of Adam's son Hevel. And Adam asks Kayin, what happened to you with your sin? You murdered your brother. What happened? Expecting to hear a ferocious and severe penalty. And the penalty of Kayin is not as bad as it was Adam's penalty. Adam's penalty is infected from Gan Eden. Kayin's penalty is to be a nomad. He doesn't get the same severity. So Kayin says, by the way, I did tshuva. And Adam puts his hands in his head and says, oh my goodness, I wish I would have done tshuva. Because tshuva is just so illogical. Why should tshuva be effective? Adam didn't imagine that tshuva would be feasible. It's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll talk about that gift and the contours of that gift. So tshuva is not something intuitive to man. As natural as it is, the freedom of choice, how can you rewrite your past? Your past is your past. You committed a sin, you have to pay the penalty. So Adam, it doesn't dawn on Adam that he should perform tshuva. Yet Kayin, for some reason, there's a spark of tshuva. So what's the spark of tshuva? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu confronts Kayin after the sin, and he's angry, and Hashem tells him, "Hey, Hevel Achicha, where's Hevel?" And Kayin says, "Lo yadati, I don't know." He denies it, and then he's very flippant. Hashomer Achi Anochi, am I in charge of my brother? What you hear from Kayin is not just truculence, but you also see denying. He's not accepting any responsibility. He's actually not just denying responsibility, he's denying the action, he's denying the event. Maybe in his mind he knows it happens, but from a Kadosh Baruch Hu standpoint, I don't know what happened, Hashomer Achi Anochi. Rather than saying, oh, I know he's dead, but it's not my fault. It's a higher level, a deeper level of denial. At which point, Kadosh Baruch Hu delivers his penalty, his onesh, and then Kayin responds with three words. And Chazal see this as a foundation of tshuva. It's not the supreme tshuva, it's the foundation of tshuva. What I just said is really important because there's so many different varieties of tshuva and so many different levels of tshuva. No one's tshuva will ever be perfectly authentic. Tshuva is a journey into the depths of your soul. It's a struggle with layers of deceit and ego that you have to try to strip away to see your honest truth, because we all have coping systems in place, coping mechanisms, to paint a picture of ourselves the way we'd like to see ourselves. When we look in the mirror, it's hard to see who we really are. We tell ourselves narratives, or else we couldn't make it through the day. We have to pat ourselves. We have to upholster our psychology by telling ourselves things we'd like to believe, or else we'd be crushed by the reality of whom we are. On the other hand, tshuva is trying to strip some of these things away and see ourselves the way we really are. So it's never going to be perfect. And in the search for perfect tshuva, you can deny yourself meaningful tshuva. That's why Chazal talk about tshuva gemura versus tshuva she'ena gemura. And even tshuva she'ena gemura is accepted. The Gemara in Kiddushin talks about a hero tshuva. Even a slight moment of tshuva, it's not the ultimate, it's not the supreme tshuva. So here you're seeing a very, very flawed, rudimentary, basic form of tshuva. Gadol avoni minso. My sin is too great to carry. Now, according to Rashi in Bereishis, not only is he saying something briefly, but he's actually challenging Hashem. Rashi says this statement is b'tnihai. He says, Gadol avoni minso. You're the melech malcheim lachim. You can carry the universe. You can't just overlook my little sin of murdering my brother. Okay, whether we accept Rashi's pshat or some of the other we've shown him, according to Rashi, it's chaspedik, it's insolent. Even if we don't read it as an insolent statement to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's still very, very meek, very meager tshuva. But what do you have? On the one hand, you have admission and acceptance that there is a sin, saying the word avoni. Actually saying that there's a sin. Very often we justify, very often we point fingers, very often we find excuses. It's not really a sin. For the first time, the first stage of tshuva is to say, I did something wrong. There's a chet here. There's something I have to address. And it's mine. As we would say in our vernacular, he owns it. He doesn't say, Gadol ha'avon min so. He says, Gadol avonim min so. That's why vidui is so crucial. Why isn't vidui mental? You think you'd sit quietly and think with a pen and paper, make a list, conduct an inventory, what has to be improved? Because when you say something and when you articulate the words, it becomes more vivid. When something becomes more vivid, it becomes more psychologically compelling. The Gemara says in Ksuvas and Kuf Dalit that when Rav Yehuda Hanasi died, it was apocalyptic. I remember being at the Rav's funeral. I felt like I was living through apocalypse. How can I wake up the next morning? I couldn't imagine a world without Rav Soloveitchik. I remember when Rav Aaron passed away, I thought the world was ending. I'd wake up tomorrow and the world wouldn't get, the sun wouldn't rise. You feel like you're facing an apocalypse because someone that factored so central to your world is no longer there. That's who Rabbi Danasi was. Rabbi Danasi was one of the Bali and the Sarah. He shifted the entire history of Torah. So they woke up in the morning, they couldn't imagine a world without Rabbi Danasi. So they said, whoever says Rabbi Danasi died should be stabbed. Kol Omer Rabbi Meis Yidakir Becherav. What's the joke? If no one says he's dead, he'll come to life. If we deny it, then he'll be resurrected. No, there's a difference between a reality and a reality that you keep talking about, as you mentioned. It was painful enough, but don't talk about it. Sometimes in life, you just have to be quiet, learn not to speak about something, not to talk about something. So when you talk about a sin, it becomes more compelling, more vivid, more concrete. You accept. Acceptance is the first stage of change. To accept that there is a sin. To accept that there's a wrongdoing here. To say the word avoni. When Yosef's brothers, finally, when it finally dawns on them, there's a word they say, Aval Hashemim Anachnu. If Soloveitchik said the word Aval is an admission of guilt. That's why in Vidui we say Aval Anachnu Mavaseinu Chatanu. Why is Aval an admission of guilt? We think Aval means but. Why is Aval, the word Aval? So some want to say because it sounds like Avel. There's a mourning and a sadness that has to be associated with Tshuva. But the real reason that Aval is an admission of guilt is because it's a 180. I thought this. This was my narrative. But now I see it differently. There's a turnaround. There's an inversion of perspective. Yosef's brothers always assumed that they were righteous and he was the sinner, that he was tearing apart the family. They were justified, that Hashem was on their side, and they were really the virtuous ones. And finally, the sum total of this pressure that they were being exposed to, Avon. But it's a turnaround. It's an inversion. I'm seeing it from a different perspective. We don't really see Cain's imagination before this, but he says, Gadol Avoni Minso. The second aspect that he demonstrates is he uses the word Minso. He doesn't say Gadol Avoni, he says Gadol Avoni Minso. And he articulates the fact that there's a heaviness, there's a weight to sin. Is my sin too great? He says, traditionally, Gadol Avoni, or Rashi, is my sin too great? Gadol Avoni, admission, my sin is great. Gadol Avoni Minso acknowledges or showcases that there's a weight, there's a toll to sin. You carry sin through this world. What does it mean you carry? David HaMelech talks about it, we'll talk about it in Tehillim Lamed Ches. What does it mean you carry? What's the weight of sin? Well, metaphysically, obviously, there's a weight, there's a penalty, there's a specter of chet, but it's also psychological, it's also emotional. You're carrying, if someone is honest, if someone acknowledges sin, it's always going to be in your mind. It's always going to be in your relationship with Hashem. Until you get rid of it, it's always going to be that barrier, that extra baggage that's static. Let me put it into as concrete terms as I can. When you're davening and you're trying to have kavanah, how many images do you have in your head you wish you hadn't seen that are in the way that you have to fight through during davening? People used to talk about machshava zaros. You're thinking about strange thoughts during davening. Forget the machshava zaros. How many photographs and images or words are in your head because of the media deluge we live under that you have to work through when you're saying Shema Yisrael, that you have to try to block out when you're saying Avinu Malkeinu? How much of a toll, now that's a more a concrete, that there's an actual image or a picture or a sound, even if it's not that direct, there's a toll. You know that you've, like in any room, think about, are there any relationships you have that have been ruined by a terrible crime? You hurt someone's feelings, that person hurt your feelings, and you look at that person and like, I don't have anyone here that I insulted, I think. So my relationship, let's say, with Hanan, just picking you too close to me, it's a smooth relationship. I didn't insult you, you didn't insult me. We're starting our relationship. There's a cleanliness, there's an openness, there's a smoothness to our relationship. We just settle in and talk to one another. But then there are people who hurt you, you've hurt them, and there's always going to be that past insult and that past blow-up or tension, and you have to work through it. Now, part of life is working through relationships, but it's something you carry with you in this world. Something's always going to weigh you down. Like when you walk and you're carrying some weight, it's always going to slow you down. And Cain's aware of that, and he says, God, I love an even self. So Cain's the first voice of tshuva. It isn't the supreme, optimal tshuva, but he does articulate his state. It's a vidui. It's a vidui that's eno gamor. We'll talk about other forms of vidui she eno gamor. And he accepts it, and he says, there's a weight now that I'm going to carry for the remainder of my life. And it's not just the sentence and the punishment, but it's the weight of sin. Okay? Have a great day, everyone. Have a great day. Good luck with Shir Chazara. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Yonatan.